Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 8, Episode 5. We're in the season finale of Das Daily Zeitgeist for December 1st, 2017. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potatoes O'Brien, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Oh, my God, the AKAs today are lit. Thanks to Twitter. Let me get them all in right now. It's Miles, a.k.a. Miles Teller of Truth, a.k.a. the Benghazi Prophet, a.k.a. Oh, Miles, Miles, oh, hell yeah, a.k.a. Miles Don't Lie to the FBI. Thank you, everyone on Twitter, for that. Please keep them coming because, I mean, wow. You guys are the truth.
And I've been told on Twitter that I just have to stick to Potatoes O'Brien. Like, just quit it. We like it when you say that. And we are thrilled to be joined by one of the just greatest comedy writers out there, hilarious comedian. She is the Tinseltown toothpick, Shelby Farrow.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. We're excited to have you here.
Miles just pushed my microphone like 4 feet closer to my mouth.
Gotta get the audio right.
Shelby, what's something that you've searched in the not-too-distant past that you think is revealing about who you are as a human being?
I believe that one of my last searches, and I actually very rarely do this, but I Googled searched, like, armpit, lump, sore, problem.
Yep, it's a lymph node.
But it could just be a strained muscle.
Oh,
that's
really?
What I was trying to figure out. I was trying to figure out whether I had a strained shoulder muscle or cancer. One of the two options.
Well, it's not always like, I mean, your lymph node could be swollen for other reasons, right? Not just cancer. Although the internet would make you believe it's cancer every time.
And I say I rarely do that because I very rarely actually have a medical thing where cancer does seem one of the main options. But for that one, it was really like, well, either something's wrong with your muscle, you're kind of sick, or you have lung or breast cancer.
Yeah, it's like, okay, cool. I'm going to go with muscle strain.
I was picturing an actual sore when you said you were like, sore. I was like, damn, that sounds painful. What's something you think is overrated?
I hate to say this because I didn't even finish it, but I mean, Stranger Things is like fine.
Oh,
yeah. Right?
Hey.
I'll say Stranger Things.
The first season or the second
season? I'll say Stranger Things season 1 because I only watched the first episode of season 2.
Okay.
I also do not want to say it's a bad show or that it's not an enjoyable show. I just think I rated it correctly, which was I watched it all in one day on a Sunday when I was bored. And then I went, okay. And then I moved on with my life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the correct amount to give it.
You didn't get like a Justice for Barbara tattoo like on your back or something.
Oh,
like
my God. Have you guys seen her Instagram again?
No.
No.
Oh, God. Yeah.
The actress?
Is she listening right now?
She could be.
Well,
wait, what do you mean?
Almost definitely. I don't know. I have like... It's fun sometimes when I'm really high to go back in people's accounts who have like just gotten famous to see where the switch happens, like on their Instagram account.
Oh, the glow up cape.
When it's like 75 likes versus like 4,000 likes or whatever.
Right.
And so I went back on her account and a few pages back at the time, this was a couple years ago, a few pages back, you find out that she goes to those like Christian con things.
Oh,
like
oh,
those like evangelical, like Cow Palace, like convention center,
nice.
Like
yeah,
Jesus
yeah.
in the house,
yeah.
like things. And I was just like...
Look at you, Barbara.
Well.
Yeah, Barbara.
What an interesting facet.
All right, Barbara, praise Christ.
Right, yeah. Praise Christ. Hey, I got a story about a guy who...
who was also into some stranger things.
Yeah. His name was Jesus Christ.
His name was Jesus Christ.
What's something you think is underrated?
I guess I maybe have to say that perhaps Mindhunter is underrated, but again, by the same virtue, I happened to watch it because my roommate was watching it and I sat down and watched the rest of it with her and I was like, wow, that was surprisingly good. This show has the stupidest name in the world and I will never ever recommend it to anybody. Like I will never tell someone you should watch Mindhunter.
Yeah,
like,
it is a bad name. It's an appropriate name for like what it is, but it's just a bad.
I got through two episodes and it wasn't like a thing where I was like, oh, it's bad. It just didn't keep me.
Yes.
Right.
But I liked what I was seeing.
To be fair, I only watched episode 3 till the end. So I don't know if it was bad for the
first between the two of us.
Yeah, we've seen the whole season.
Yeah.
So and it's okay.
Can I get a review?
I was like, it's okay. And then it ended strong,
it's,
quite strong.
Yeah, that's cool. That's fine.
Yeah,
Jack, didn't you have an opinion? I thought you were saying like
I like some of the performances quite a bit. Like the guys who come in and play serial killers are like a lot of fun.
Spot on.
The very first serial killer who they interview is like one of my favorite characters on a Netflix show. I don't know. I think the overall like conceit of the show is that these people are profiling they're able to like profile someone's psyche and, you know, use that to hunt them down. And there's a Malcolm Gladwell article about like serial killer profilers, that just basically says it's a complete con game. Like it's not actually true.
Oh.
Is that true?
That's what Malcolm Gladwell said.
Lord Gladwell.
I was going to say, yeah.
Right. So I don't know.
Malcolm Gladwell.
I had a little trouble buying into the like central conceit that, you know, we can tell from what these people say to us, like, and how they commit their crimes, like exactly like different things about them. But it's such an interesting subject. Like they talk about how, these crimes like bubble up from like things that we have wrong with society and like all these like interesting cultural criticism things that are really cool. I just don't know if I'd buy it as a crime fighting technique.
No, right. I think the only thing or the thing that comes out of it that has only ever seemed like interesting or important to me is stuff like how they found out that if you can make like a personal connection or get them to see you as a person, maybe they won't kill you. Like whenever there are those weird cases where they're like, for some reason they didn't kill this one. Like that's the only thing that's interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Jonathan Groff looks old finally. He's never looked old before. And
which guy is that?
He's the main dude. The main, you know.
What's he from before?
He was in Glee. He was on Broadway. Like he was
the king in Hamilton, right?
Was he?
I've never seen
Hamilton.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, we can't all go see Hamilton whenever we want.
I was walking through my neighborhood and someone in this, like, when you cross over this main street, you get into a nicer neighborhood in the area that I live.
Just Hamilton billboards everywhere.
Well, people like on the light post are like, I got to get rid of my Hamilton tickets, $350 a piece. Let me know. And I was like, God. Whoa, $350.
On the other side, someone just like screaming at a shrub.
Yeah.
Like, give me my shoes back.
Yeah, but you cross Melrose the other side and it's like, ooh.
I like to imagine you just like quietly backing out of the neighborhood. Like once you saw that.
Oh,
just,
yeah,
like,
exactly. Ooh,
walking backwards.
Back to the bad side.
Yeah, I am not built for this neighborhood.
Also, Mindhunter is a show where most of the acting is pauses, which I appreciate. It's a lot of
A lot of pausing.
Well.
right. Dramatic pause.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the format, guys. We're trying to take a sample of the ideas that are out there changing the world, whether we're looking or not. We talk about politics and the president and news, but we also talk about movies and supermarket tabloids because those still get in front of millions of people every day because people still need to buy milk and most of them have eyes. And also, sometimes they get stuff right, the supermarket tabloids. They told me before anyone else that Steve Jobs was dying, that Swayze was dying, that John Edwards was having an affair. They caught OJ's shoe lie about, like, saying that he didn't have a pair of these shoes. They found a picture where he was wearing them. So they're worth looking at. They led us to question whether Matt Lauer was the next sex crim to drop, like, 3 months ago. I guess it was a month ago. Like, a year ago, practically. So we're trying to take a temperature of what's out there affecting the national shared consciousness. And I've had a thing that I've noticed that's very, like, zeitgeist firmament-based. So I've noticed that Forrest Gump jokes are suddenly a big deal.
Again?
Yeah, Forrest Gump references. I was on a text thread this morning. My friend Blake made a – we were talking about Trump, and he referenced the line, and that lying son of a bitch Johnson. And, like, it stopped the thread. People were like, ha-ha, great Forrest Gump reference. And I was like
– the conversation came to a screeching halt as we all clapped for his
exactly.
amazing joke.
But then I had noticed, like, 2 weeks ago that on Saturday Night Live, there were two – Forrest Gump references within like a 5 minute period, like two separate sketches, like Weekend Update and the sketch right before Weekend Update, both had Forrest Gump references in it.
That might be, they've been doing the Jeff Sessions Forrest Gump joke where they dress Kate McKinnon up as Jeff Sessions on the park bench as Forrest.
I forget what they were. It
they've
was just like
for the cold open a few times.
Yeah. And I, the other day I was listening, I think it's because I'm looking for it, but like on the radio, this kid was like talking about how his, teacher had adopted him, and like the final climactic line of the story was the kid going, life is like a box of chocolates, you never know what you're gonna get. And I was like, wow, they really like went out on that. That's like you that's like such a cliched line, but like I think there's just like some Forrest Gumpness in the zeitgeist right now.
I think you're on to, you know what, I'll say it, I think you're on to something.
Hey,
it's a seminal film, I think, for people who grew up in the 90s, and when that film came out, certainly like everyone watched. I mean, I know that movie really, really well despite not watching it many times, although that like Lyndon Johnson line is a deep cut.
But I
like that your crew is like, damn, with that fucking Lyndon Johnson line from Forrest Gump.
I would say, though, that for most of, I feel like, my young adult life, it was sort of hacked to make a Forrest Gump joke, though. Like, it was definitely, like, played out like, boring. But I feel like, are we, what, 30 years out? Is it, like, maybe 30 years? And then 20 years, and then it's suddenly sort of like, hey, remember that movie we all used to like? Like, you know, it seems cool again to start talking about
it. But it's not like in the early 2000s we're like making weird science references from the 80s or something.
Right.
It's weird like that.
But Back to the Future was like pretty fucking hot when I was like in middle school and high school.
Something about Zemeckis. You know, it's like Zemeckis just has.
Zemeckis.
That's a movie.
Bobby Z.
There's something about Zemeckis.
25 year life.
But yeah, he has like these movies where that take over our cultural like imagination of,
and I think we've talked about on the show, like we've made Forrest Gump references in the past too, I think, talking about Lieutenant Dan or other things.
Yeah,
like, there's just things you can't get away from,
about like standing at the on a boat in the middle of a hurricane shouting at
God. Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
That's a lot of fun. I remember hearing Forrest Gump by Frank Ocean in the back of my head thinking, is Forrest Gump cool again?
right.
If Frank Ocean says it, then absolutely.
It's gospel.
So that's the sort of shit we talk about. And Shelby, we like to open up by asking our guest if there's anything specific to their experience that gives them insight into a specific thing that's like broadly believed by the culture that is a myth.
Whatever, you'll see what I'm about to say. I found out a few months ago, like my whole life, it's always been like, if you're going to cut raw meat, you use a plastic cutting board. And if you're going to cut vegetables or fruit, you use a wood cutting board. And you never put raw meat on a wood cutting board because then the juices get in the wood and then bacteria grows, blah, blah, blah. And then like my friend was like cutting meat on that. And I sort of like did the sort of like,
hey,
I don't want to be a bitch, or like, hey, like, I don't know if you're supposed to do that. And he was like, I don't think so. And then we Googled it and I was totally wrong. Like, it's not a thing.
Oh, really?
I guess. I don't know.
Like, I thought you're like chicken is the one you don't want to do on wood.
Yes, exactly. Like any, but like apparently that's not a thing.
Oh,
apparently,
really?
Like you just put it through the dish. Like it doesn't matter. You just wash it. Like, at least the first Google thing that came up was like, One of the most like widely believed like myths about cooking in the kitchen is that you have to use separate cutting boards. And I was like, oh, I feel full.
And what website was that? Salmonella.com?
Yeah.
So that's a myth for you guys.
Busted.
Busted. About big it. Salmonella.
I'm sure someone will come at us at some point.
Someone like, will actually, be like, I got so ill this weekend from following your myth.
Yeah. Also, direct all your lawsuits at Shelby Farrow.
Yes.
Yeah, because I did not give you that bad advice.
All right. So what are we talking about today? Today is Bloid Day. Friday's always
Bloid Watch.
We always do Bloid Watch. We also have an update about this guy Flynn. Apparently, National Security Advisor Michael Flynn there's something going on with him. But we wanted to start off talking about taxes because that's a fun subject.
Yeah.
But that's something that apparently we need to know about.
Yeah. I mean, look, everybody is having a Flynngasm over this whole thing today because, you know, he took a guilty plea. And great, yes, as it should be. But more importantly, Mitch McConnell today was like, we have the votes to pass this horrific tax bill. And, you know, we were trying to figure out the best way to talk about this, like whether we just go like line by line on why it's so terrible. I think most people understand that it's terrible because the GOP is sort of saying like, you're going to get tax breaks forever, which is true if you're a corporation or a wealthy person, but not if you're a middle class person.
Right.
And, you know, this bill does many, many bad things. First of all, it makes the debt real trill. And when I say trill, I don't mean the Houston way of like something is trill. I mean $1 trillion is being added to our debt based on, you know, the math that even the Senate has done on this bill. Which makes it like you'd imagine for someone who's a conservative, that would be a non-starter. You don't want to add $1 trillion to debt. But I guess when you're in power, it's easy to sort of, you know,
look past that.
Yeah. Yeah. Or rationalize it.
Yeah. And I mean, they have specifically come out like Lindsey Graham came out and was like, man, I've heard from our donors that like, don't even call us if you don't pass this.
Yeah.
So that's just not a thing you're supposed to say publicly.
No,
like, it's just supposed to be this is for the donors.
Right. It's
well,
a pure race.
When they say like we have the votes, does that mean they're going to push the vote or that?
Well, you don't know if I mean, unless you're on the Senate floor in those meetings, you don't know what the vote count is at. So that's just a way of saying like, OK,
that's true.
We're approaching the like viable vote.
If I knew I had the votes, I for 2 weeks would be like, oh, I don't know if we have the votes. Like, I guess we'll find out. Like, oh, what a surprise. We have the votes. Like, right.
Oh,
interesting.
Well, no, they have to do it because they have to get this done as soon as possible. So,
yeah.
Like, you have to have this accelerated. And also, like, if they're undecided people, that'll just let them know. It's like, look, you can take an
That's
L
saying,
and be
yeah.
on the wrong side. But either way,
That's
it's
true.
To signal.
People can abstain if they want.
Yeah, it's to signal that, look, it has come together. There's enough support for this bill. And, look, it's going to, like I said, it's going to add over $1 trillion to the debt. You know, the other big thing is that people don't realize this is, again, another attempt to completely kneecap Obamacare.
Oh, yeah. They're just because, like cutting all the Medicaid or Medicare.
Well, and they're going to repeal the individual mandate, which requires people to, you know, to buy into Obamacare to offset the cost for people who are sicker and need the help. So, again, it goes far beyond like the taxes because all they want to sort of go around is parade. It's like, hey, you're going to get a tax cut, which is temporary.
Right.
And again, they're also trying to say that it's going to stimulate the economy. But even like when you look at a lot of the analysis that's been done, the bill would maybe boost the economy by like they're saying less than 1% over 10 years. And so what's crazy is that this bill objectively on its surface like is terrible. And the only people that are saying it's good are the people who are counting on their donors to keep filling their coffers to get something done because
right.
these people are like, you've got the House, the Senate, and the White House, and you still can't get shit done.
It's not a popular bill. It's polling at like 20-something percent. But even like the wealthy people who you'd imagine being super into this, and there are rich people who are super into this in that one thread that I had, the Forrest Gump thread, as we'll call it. You know, one of my friends is like a hedge fund person who's like, this is a no-brainer, great thing for the for the country. He thinks that cutting the corporate tax rate from 35 to 20 is going to like offset all this stuff because entrepreneurs will actually keep their businesses in America. But there's
but
like
that's not the
this
way
entrepreneur.
To fix it.
Yeah. And also this entrepreneur like came out in the New York Times and was like, look, like I just created a business that is now worth $500 million. I'm what is known in politics as a job creator. And, you know, I work with nothing but entrepreneurs and nobody has ever not started a company because the taxes were too high.
Yeah, it's like, not something you consider.
It's just not something that happens. And so this idea that suddenly you lower the corporate tax rate and people start like starting new businesses and, you know, like coming up with all these great ideas and making more money for the economy is not something that's ever happened. And it doesn't seem like people who, you know, are involved with that sort of thing don't seem to think it's going to happen.
Yeah. And a few CEOs have come out and said, look, any tax break we get, that money's just going to go back to the shareholders. Like right. They've been really transparent about that. They're like, yeah, we're going to start investing it. And what's crazy is like Gary Cohn, who's like the economic policy advisor in the Trump administration, he was at a council of CEOs, like with the Wall Street Journal. And the guy who was sort of running the panel like goes to the audience and asks like, hey, it's a room full of CEOs, right? The people who are going to supposedly create all these jobs. He asks how many people are going to actually like start investing. I think we have a clip of it. And it's so awkward because none of these guys, like all these CEOs are being honest. Here, I think we have the clip.
Can I ask you all a quick question? If the tax reform bill goes through, do you plan to increase investment, your company's investment, capital investment? Just a show of hands, the tax reform goes through? Okay.
Why aren't the other hands up?
Why aren't the other hands up?
Yeah.
So, rutabaga. Yeah.
Maybe three hands went up. And, right. And like in a room full of maybe 50 people. And like Gary Cohn's like, ooh, shit.
Was
like,
he the one saying, why aren't the other hands
up? Yeah, because he's the one out there touting it.
Put your goddamn hands
and
up.
And he was like, nah, fam, you know as well as we are. We're not going to fucking invest more.
Well, it's legally against the law for them to just like give all the money back to the workers because their job under, and this shouldn't be the case, but if you're a corporation, your job is to make as much money for your shareholders as possible. So like, yeah, they're just going to fucking give the money to their shareholders. And the people who own stocks, like I think it's 50% of stocks are owned by the top like 0.1% of earners in the country. It's not like helping Americans. It's still just going right to the 1%.
Yeah. This guy is so, the kinds of people that are touting this are so out of touch with like what the reality is for people who like don't have millions of dollars. He was saying, you know, if we allow families to keep another $1,000 of their income, what does that mean? They can renovate their kitchen. They can buy a new car. They can take a family vacation. They can increase their lifestyle.
With $1,000 a year, not $1,000 a day or a week.
It's like, that's not rent.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They're like, dude, you know, you could maybe buy like three of your kids new shoes and like five dinners.
Right.
And again, they're also writing this bill in secret. And who knows, like, you know, Kamala Harris tweeted that she still hadn't seen the bill that they've been like furiously rewriting that could potentially be voted on like as soon as tonight.
Like she hasn't seen the final version?
No. And I don't think even the Republicans voting, they're not going to really have time to read the bill.
Right.
So this is just all being done in the dark. It's just fucked.
They keep talking about it being a win. They just need a win.
Exactly.
And that's basically, I think, you know, we were talking about earlier, like it's just a tribal thing. Like the reason, Shelby, you're asking why they're like telling people we've got the votes is I feel like that's the whole rationale for this is just like we're going to win. Our
we need a win because we haven't done shit.
Like, I don't know. I just can't imagine anybody anywhere is like, yeah.
No.
Yeah, we did it. Except for like rich people or
it's fucking not for anybody. And look, even CEOs are like, nah, like it's not really going to do what you say it's going to do. Trump, like earlier, I think it was today or yesterday, he was trying to say that like the why the Democrats are pushing back so much is, quote, because they think it is too good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why I never do stuff. Right. Yeah, that's why, too good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm saying it's so fucked up because it's too good.
Right.
That's
the main argument, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So look, again, it's not the end because still this is going to have to go back to the House and either they'll vote on the bill as it is or it's going to go into conference. But again, this is like a very significant step towards basically like blowing up our whole tax model and, you know, like services for people. It has so many like far reaching effects that I think, you know, I wish more people realized or maybe are just so distracted. They don't know, you know, to like get on the phones and call as many of their senators as they can.
Right. Even looking back like, oh, okay, how do we get out of the 80s? Like, what did we do after Reagan gutted all of our like programs? The truth is a lot of people died. A lot of people got sent out on the streets and they're still there today. Like, it's really frustrating to be like, this has happened before. So what do we do now? You know, like, there's got to be actual concrete, like, Reagan's on the lower level things to do, you know.
Yeah, Reagan's interesting because he did this in, I think it was 81, gave Americans and rich Americans in particular a huge tax break with the idea of supply side economics, that it was going to, you know, all flow back into the economy. And
I like how they don't even say flow, they say trickle. That was always my favorite thing in history classes. I was like, wait, they try to make it sound appealing by going, no, it'll trickle down to you eventually,
to you
like tiny
of,
little dots of water.
And, that worked so well that Reagan had to raise taxes 8 times during the course of his presidency.
Right.
So one tax cut and then 8 tax raises to,
God,
you know,
to be like, oh, there's no money for things.
Right.
Ooh,
yeah,
date?
Exactly.
My bad.
All right. We are going to go to a quick break. We'll be right back with things to distract you from all this bullshit.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. So we're going to get into Bloid Watch. Where we take a look at what Star Magazine, Us Weekly, what else we got?
The Globe. National Enquirer, Globe, National Examiner.
Okay.
In touch. We got them all, baby.
Got them all. Shelby has been quietly reading these magazines all day.
And disgusting
just like,
herself.
Yeah, just like shaking her head.
It's not even disgust. It's just, it's mind blowing.
Like what, how vapid everything is or just how petty the tabloids are?
Again, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I don't remember from when I would read these as like a kid. But I remember always being sort of like, these are ridiculous. But they were so obviously ridiculous or so obviously like regressive or reductive. And now they're like this weird mix. I'm saying to Jack, like this weird mix of like fake woke, but also trashy. Where like they have a whole insert about like Lena Dunham and Jenny Connor, like basically backing up that writer who was accused of sexual assault and being like, oh, Lena puts her foot in her mouth again, like with an emoji, like thing. And then on the opposite page is like, oh, Beyonce and Kim Kardashian feuding. Like, it's just so bizarre.
Right. There, it's going to be a hard sort of balancing act to continue to be right as tabloids, like in an era when everything is like woke and people.
Right. Yeah, because eventually, like, you're like trying to make fun of people for being overweight or skinny, like,
This is not bullshit. Okay. Oh my God, they had a thing, as we said before, they had a thing on Tara Reid that was like, is Tara Reid too skinny? Like, is she going to die in 3 months? Where I'm like, why are you posting this?
Which is
just
funny.
Just go pick her up. Go take her somewhere.
Right. Like, because in the National Enquirer, too, they say, skeletal Tara Reid facing jaws of death. Tinseltown toothpick Tara Reid terrifying weight loss. It's mad alliteration. Again, shout out to the Enquirer, Globe, and Examiner because they fuck with the alliteration so hard.
Alliteration is just such shitty writing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I love it because it's like the first literary device you learn, like when you take an English class as a kid, and then you're like, whoa, I didn't realize there was a word for using the same like consonant
Consonants
sound.
Consonants is good, but alliteration.
This was This was also my favorite. It's a whole weird insert on Good Deed of the Week, but it's all stars saving other people's lives, I suppose.
In which magazine?
In Touch.
Okay.
Thank you for asking.
Yes.
This is Tom Cruise, 55, saved his Mummy co-star Annabelle Wallace's life after a parachute got stuck around her neck during filming. It was literally choking me. Then with 2 or 3 seconds left, there he was, the hero, gushed the 33-year-old actress. I feel like I'd be like, yeah, it was choking me out of nowhere because Tom Cruise.
Right. Not like with 2 to 3 seconds left, then he showed up.
Yeah, like, I'd be like, I was about to die. Then Tom comes waltzing out of nowhere with a knife.
And also 2 to 3 seconds left, like you know exactly how much like time your
how
brain
much
has without
my brain like, has.
It was about 2 to 3 seconds.
Yeah. I was being choked out for about 90 seconds before anyone came to help me.
So one odd trend is that Jenny Garth from 90210 is just all over the covers.
All over.
Really?
And for different reasons. On Star, they're talking about her third marriage exploding. And then on the cover of Us Weekly, they have Holiday at Home with Your Favorite Stars. And it's a picture of Jenny Garth.
My favorite star. Right. You ask me what my favorite star is, and baby, I don't even have to think twice. Jenny motherfucking
Garth. There she is. I mean, that's what we were saying. Is her publicist team that lit that they can keep her head above water? Or is this showing you that, like, she has a hold over, like, Gen Xers?
I think it's the Gen X thing.
Or, like, older millennials.
90210
sorry,
is, like, such
show
a touchstone.
Jenny Garth is.
She was, like, the coolest one. Or I was in love with Jenny Garth growing up. She was Kelly Taylor on 90210. From Urbana, Illinois. That's the same place where Little Giants takes place. Deep cut for y'all. I mean, another thing I've, you know, with
so
like
creepy.
The super trashy tabloids, which is the Enquirer, Examiner, and Globe, we've always known that it's definitely geared towards an older audience, but it's so like just transparently clear that these are for, you know, like septuagenarians, octogenarians who still think that like these are actual newspapers. Because every single thing's like, garlic and vinegar cure arthritis.
Right.
Like, that's not for me. Right. What about the grandparents' guide to safest and most dangerous toys? That's not for me. Farewell, 63 stars we loved. It's like Glenn Campbell, Aaron Moran, Don Rickles. I'm like, bruh.
All the greats.
Why aren't we talking about Lil Peep?
Sorry. I'm just looking at an. I'm sorry. I'm keep getting distracted by the advertisements. There's another In Touch advertisement. For In Touch magazine, In Touch magazine, that has the cover that is like telegraphing Matt Lauer gonna get fired months later as their like promo cover.
Big scoop. Yeah, we talked about
interesting.
We were turned on to the Lauerness of it all a month ago.
I do think that like things like the Globe or Enquirer or Post or whatever like have a pretty valid place in our news sphere. Like I feel like you kind of need like the trash. People saying whatever crosses their desk, because then there are a few times you're like, yeah, that one might be right. I don't know. Like, I feel like you need the fringe people pushing stuff, and then you have the establishment people like, vetting it and actually then picking out what's real. Yeah, but like, I think
like competing realities is a slippery slope because as we've already seen, like there are people who I think fully operate in the reality of like the National Enquirer
that's
or like
definitely
Breitbart
true.
Kind of thing.
And right? That's the problem. The problem is when it becomes like the accepted reality for people instead right. of the obvious, like this is the fringe reality that may or may not be real. It might be fun to think about, but you can't right. actually put stock in it.
Right. And we've mentioned before on the show that all of these tabloids are owned by a single company that is run by a guy who is like best friends with Donald Trump. So that's why you never see. There's actually a cover. The National Enquirer this week has a cover that is like exposed Capitol Hill of horrors. And I immediately Miles was like, oh, they're going after Trump because there's a picture of Trump on it. And I was like, no, Trump is the one doing the exposing. Right. I can guarantee you.
And then the subheadline is Trump's secret probe nails perv politicians, right. yeah. military brass and VIP bureaucrats. Dude, this dude ain't doing
all
shit.
Right,
he's
I
a 7-year old man with
trash.
Dementia.
But yeah, I mean, they do actual, it's both trash in terms of like how we should regard it, but also like that's a journalistic technique they do. They go through Starz trash. Like that's, that's a type of journalism that they do. It's just, you know, and a lot of the stuff we've pointed out is like sources say, but then the source speaks in the exact same voice as the tabloid. They're right. like sources say this Tinseltown
toothpick.
Toothpick.
I love like, that one.
Yo, is that
so
really
funny.
How sources speak?
They're just sitting there like, she's about to die of anorexia. Right. What to call her? What right. to call her? Tinseltown toothpick.
Yeah.
Despite the elderly Ben to the National Enquirer, they do have a story in here that's basically saying Kim Ye play homegrown Game of Thrones, where they're basically trying to say that Kim and Kanye like to poop around each other and talk while they're pooping on yeah. the toilet.
That's cool.
That's their story. And they're calling it a Game of Thrones.
Now, see, what's the one next to it, which is Woody Allen whips Kate Winslet?
It's just that he's an oddball director.
Oh, that's it? Oh, he's just a little bit of a kook.
Well, because that's how they do it is they want to draw you in with, like, the weirdest thing. Like, and then when you start reading it, has nothing to do with what yeah. they're teasing.
It's important so that you actually read the story that you see the headline about before drawing any conclusions. So Star, what one of the trends you'll see in these magazines is they want movies to be real. They want, like, stories from movies to actually happen in reality. So they have a story that is Julia moves out! Exclamation point about Julia Roberts leaving her husband. Shows her with like a suitcase, and then there's a picture of Richard Gere, and it says she runs off with Pretty Woman co-star Richard Gere. So when you go and actually read that story, the only journalism they have is a picture of her husband parked like across the street from like they have a small house that's across the street from their mansion. They're like, he spends a lot of time there. Like they're probably having trouble. That's it.
And there's no her running off with Richard Gere.
The Richard Gere thing is that they seemed to have chemistry in 2015 when they appeared on the Today Show together.
Jesus. But, yeah. Although you know what? She's probably fucking Richard Gere.
Yeah. I mean, based on that.
This is amazing.
Wait till that story drops.
This one says, this is from OK. OK. USA. They added USA, I feel like. That
well,
didn't used to
buy,
be OK Meg.
I think you can buy two versions now in the
really?
States. You can buy the UK version, too.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, this one, it just says, Ben faces the heat. He thought he'd be fielding softballs about Justice League on his press tour to promote the superhero flick. Ben Affleck's interviewers had weightier topics in mind. Basically, he's being asked about like Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that. But the picture of him, his face is super red. And the little caption is, leaving the late show with Stephen Colbert on November 16th, Ben looked like he was breaking out in hives.
And watch, I bet you it's the same photo.
It looks awful.
See? Look, they all use the same photo. So that same photo is also in the National Enquirer where they
say he's a boozy Ben.
A face rash, a red alert for boozy Ben. Bloated Star stumbling his way back to rehab. Booze hound Ben Affleck. See, they love the alliteration, baby.
I love that John Mulaney joke about how every Enquirer story or whatever is just about, it sounds like you're like old neighbor or something, just like telling you the news, like, booze hound, Ben Affleck.
Right. The Royals are obviously everywhere.
Yeah.
And there's a story that Meghan Markle is pregnant that seems to be making its way like on into the headlines, but there's no evidence for it. And
wait, so is there a couple people trying to push that lie, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The In Touch cover just goes, palace bombshell, Meghan pregnant. It's why they got engaged. getting married before baby. And then in quotes, we're an example to other young couples, like as if they're telling other young couples to get pregnant before they get married.
Right.
And even in the National Examiner, they're saying Queen forbids Harry's wedding. Why royals refuse to accept actress Meghan Markle.
I'm like, sounds like you're saying that.
Yeah. And it's really just like that they think because she's a divorcee that like they don't like that or because she's a commoner.
Right.
Like, so there's, it's again, it's all.
They're like, the queen probably, yeah, essentially.
That old bitch probably hates her.
Right. Yeah, like, exactly. What?
Yeah, they're like, look at her skin.
She's like smiling with her. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise, just updates on Anna Nicole Smith's family. Apparently, it would be Anna Nicole Smith's 50th birthday. So clearly aimed at a specific
demo.
You think there are people still out there who are really torn up about Anna Nicole Smith's passing?
I don't think
probably.
So.
Maybe the people who used to sell Trim Spa.
Right. It seems like they're trying to make her like a Marilyn Monroe figure. They're like to mark the tragic beauty's 50th birthday.
I have nothing. That seems totally fine to me. But sometimes when they do the thing of like, they would have been like 98 today. I'm like, probably not.
Yeah, right,
probably
right.
Would like, still be dead.
Yeah, like, they probably would have died 5 years before that.
Yeah. Right.
But it's weird too, because they want to act like they held Anna Nicole Smith in such high regard, yet back when she was alive, it was like, look at this fucking mess of a human.
Oh, yeah. They, like, contributed to her, like,
it's like
dying.
Garbage human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's almost a, like, complete business cycle. You, like, drive somebody into, like, eating disorders and, like, madness. And then, like, when they die, you're like, oh, but let's do the story about her,
like, man,
you know,
we miss them.
Birthday. Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. So big news this morning. Michael Flynn has taken a plea deal over two charges of lying to the FBI, which is in some ways people are responding like this is huge news. But I think people have been expecting this for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back in March, his lawyer basically put out a statement saying General Flynn certainly has a story to tell and he very much wants to tell it. Should the circumstances permit, meaning like, hey, I'm ready to plea out.
Yeah, that's a good way to indicate that.
And then last week, Flynn's legal team again notified the president's legal team that, you know, they would no longer share information, strategy, you know, about what's going on with the Mueller investigation. So that was another indication that, okay, he's like literally about to cooperate.
I feel like this would just be a really great time to be like, let's add a couple amendments. Right. Like, let's, you know, let's figure a couple things out and make sure this can't happen again.
Yeah, but the problem is, like, with the Republicans in power, like, they're trying so hard to act like this isn't happening. So it's like we can't legislatively really do much. And even in the White House, they're saying, like, well, you know, this only deals with him. It implicates no one in the White House. But again, you know, when you look at his plea agreement, he's talking about how he'll cooperate, he'll testify, he'll do whatever to stay out of jail. This makes the special counsel investigation like gets one step closer. Like Manafort was, you know, sort of on the outside, but still like an inner circle person. Now they got Flynn, and he was saying like part of his thing was that he was told or directed by someone who was a very senior member of the transition team to speak with the Russian ambassador or speak with Russian diplomats.
Donald Trump.
I mean, that only leaves a very small number of people, whether that's Jared Kushner or Mike Pence or Donald. We don't know, but there aren't many people higher up once you get to the Flynn level.
Right. He would only be willing to let Flynn plea out if he was giving him someone higher up. And
if
Flynn
only
was,
Mike Pence goes down for this, do you know how funny that would be?
That would be amazing.
If Mike Pence is just the patsy boy for all
like,
of them.
Man, I just just go back to blogging about Mulan. It makes the whole situation look really bad for Trump and Trump world because, look, Obama, when they had their face-to-face meeting, he was like, yo, look out for Michael Flynn. Like, something is up with this dude. Sally Yates, like, the day after he lied to the FBI, like, went to Don McGahn in the White House, was like, yo, Michael Flynn just lied to the FBI. And then they waited, like, I don't know how many days, 24 days? Or he only served 24 days, but they sat on this information before saying, oh, he lied to the vice president.
Right.
Motherfucker, he lied to the FBI.
Right.
But also, like, I feel like these were the conspiracy, probably not conspiracy theories now in retrospect, that were coming out, like, during the election. Like, we knew Manafort was, like, a creep during the election and was doing, like, shady deals with, like, I don't know, it was, like,
Ukraine.
Syria or something. Yeah, Ukraine. Like, I don't know. It feels so weird to be like, we all kind of know this. And even if we don't know for sure, they've definitely done enough bad stuff, like, precedent-wise that I could see them doing these things. Like, it's just, like, how much more?
Right.
How much more do they have to do
before
someone just, like, literally goes and just, like, sits on the Senate floor and just is like, no, I'm not leaving. This is crazy. Like, we have to talk about this. Like, what's going on?
It's there's just so much power at stake, which is the crazy thing. And I feel like we talk about this all the time. It's the same reason why people don't out. Like, if you're trying to defend someone who's a sexual harasser within your company because they have such a high position because you depend on them, it's much in the same way with this. The
you sound like you're talking about me right now, by the way.
Yeah, he's like, he turns fully away from you. And he's sometimes you don't want to out someone.
Yeah, because somebody
writes the checks.
No, but again, it's like you thought maybe like these anti-Muslim tweets this week, like we'll see how long they're willing to hold on to this thing before it literally drags them totally down. And again, it doesn't look good no matter how you look at this. Like, you don't want you're someone who is serving as a national security advisor, you know, pleading guilty that he lied to the FBI about, like, talking to Russia, amongst the other things that are still up in the air, like his work with the Turkish government possibly to, like, kidnap somebody and, you know, send them back to Turkey. There's many it's just a stinky situation.
How could they get out of it? Like, I feel like that's what I always ask myself, right, whenever something like this happens, is like, okay, honestly, what would they have to do to get out of this? Right. Like, secretly kill Mueller. Like, not even kidding. Like, what is it going to take? Because I could not see – I honestly cannot even imagine our president, fucking Donald Trump, like, leaving the White House of his own accord, right, if he was ever voted out. Like, if he, right, in 4 years we actually managed to have a free election and he does lose, I can't imagine him leaving the White House. I imagine him, like, sitting there, like, going, right, limp and being like, you can't take me out.
Like a four-year-old at Toys R Us having a tantrum.
Exactly. Just
like,
I mean,
the way I see Trump getting out of this is there's nothing connecting exactly him to the Russian thing. So you get everybody else, but there's no smoking gun connecting him. And then he just pleads ignorance, which is entirely possible.
Won't he leave? Like, why? Like, I really think right now it must just be like, well, you're there. You can't, I don't know, you're crazy and egotistical and whatever. But, like, there's so much of me that's like, his life would be better and he would like his life more if he left, if he was not president.
Well, but he would have to admit defeat.
He doesn't have to himself. He can pretend like he was too good for America.
He's too vain. He's all about the optics. Like, even if he knew that to be true in his heart, I don't think he could live with the fact that he looks like a guy who gave up on being the president.
Right.
I had the most, like, I know it's a fantasy, I know it's stupid, but, like, thing right before the election where I was like, I need someone to tell him or lightly imply, like, hey, you know, if you, you know, basically pulled out now, just like let Hillary Clinton win and then, like, sold out all the GOP people and all the Russian connections and then totally tanked all of their careers who were such assholes to you, like, you could retire a hero. Like, we'll just call you a hero. Fuck it. We'll just be like, right, yes, you're great now. Like,
yeah.
That would be the coolest thing he could have done that would actually make the country be like, all right, I guess we have to like him now.
Yeah.
Right. But I do think he believes the stuff he says. Like, he is racist. We keep talking like he's, you know, this opportunistic person who's just saying whatever is going to get him. Like, no, I think he really thinks, you know, the racist stuff he's tweeting is true. And he, you know, is an ideologue.
I disagree with that. I think he agrees with it as much as he can personally agree with anything in a given moment. And I think he's an extremely, whatever you want to call it, petty, evil, narcissistic human being who, like, at any given moment, if you just make someone look weaker than someone else, he'll be like, ha ha. Like, yes. Like, his side is just, like, power.
Yeah.
You know, like, he definitely doesn't hate, like, rich Saudi oil magnates, you know, like, that's definitely not the problem.
Yeah.
But he definitely does hate Obama and is just trying to erase his legacy. That's pretty obvious also. That was about the pee tape that no one talked about, where everyone was like, oh, ha ha ha, like, peeing during sex, like, that's funny. I was like, no, that's not what happened.
Right.
He paid them for him to stand away and watch them and pee on the bed where Obama slept in. Like, that's different. And everyone just made it, like, a funny sex kink. And I was like, that's not what this is.
No, like, desecrate this bed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was
kind of like an evil, like, thing. He should be wearing, like, an Eyes Wide Shut mask while just, like, sitting there, like,
fanning himself.
Yeah.
Like, holding a cat for some reason.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess, look, the Flynn thing, it's definitely a step forward. And again, the White House trying to be like, well, it looks like it's going to be swiftly ended. Well, look, motherfucker, it looks like they're getting closer to you.
Right.
Really? And so I think when you also look at it, we're talking about this too, beyond, like, pleading out to probably protect his son, you know, the legal fees of trying to defend yourself from a federal indictment, those bills stack up. And if you were, like, found guilty, like, you could lose your pension. Like, Mike Flynn has a lot more to lose because, unlike Manafort, those guys have spent their entire lives getting rich and, like, working as, like, political operatives. Flynn was in the military for the longest time and only really got into, like, this, you know, private wheeling and dealing maybe, like, 2 years ago. He doesn't have the same resources to defend himself. So I'm sure after a while he's like, shit, I'm not going to have any money.
Right.
I'll be in jail. I have no pension. I think he openly said that.
He was like, look, we don't have a ton of money, so.
Yeah.
And they couldn't pay for, like, lawyer fees or something, I thought.
We'll cooperate.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And he was even like, just begging, like, first to see if Trump would help him out. And then they're like, nah, fam, we can't help you with your legal fees. And he's like, all right, I guess I'm going to sing.
Right.
So.
So, I guess we'll see where it goes. And hopefully try not to be too distracted by fantasies of him being taken down by,
which is crazy.
How do you think people would react if he showed up dead?
If Trump truly showed up dead?
No, Flynn.
If Michael Flynn,
I'm not proposing it. I'm just saying, I really feel like that's the next step for our government is to start to, like
people,
overtly doing shit like that.
I feel like it wouldn't be too much different from how everything is responded to now. Like, it seems transparently evil, like, when he tweets, like, propaganda fake videos about, you know, Muslim people, and we're like, how can this be happening? He's clearly wrong, and you know, people just are living in separate existences. So that's the scary thing, is I don't think there's anything stopping it from becoming more just over the top and insane.
I'd be interested to read about, like, people's mental breaking points and, like collectively, if, like, when you get to the point where you're like, well, fuck it, we're gonna revolt, or like, well, fuck it, we gotta do some, like, I feel like if these people just rely on the hope that if they do something so absurdly crazy or so absurdly evil, most people will kind of, like, either ameliorate it within their own heads or put it out of their mind because it doesn't match their worldview of the world being, like, a sensible place that makes sense to them, you know? Like, so you just sort of go, like, well, he must have a reason, or, like, it can't be that evil, where it's like, no, it can be. Like, as soon as you accept that into your life, like, we can move on.
That's why we're, like, on this slippery slope of beginning to, like, normalize everything, where we're just like, oh,
I guess. It's just so tiring.
But yeah, I think, again, we'll only see any action, you know, from a legislative standpoint or from the Congress once it only threatens these Congress people and senators, you know, chances of being reelected. We'll see. You know, it's very exciting in the ongoing Mueller saga. But again, let's just stay grounded. Let's stay grounded. Stay focused.
Shelby, it's been a blast having you. Where can people find you?
They can find me online at Shelby Farrow, or just around.
Cool.
You know, just hanging.
Around
guys.
Where?
Shelby's LA.
Famously one of the best follows on Twitter.
Am I? I want to, like, publicly apologize to everyone who follows me now, because it's just become, like, a retweet calling account for things that I want to go back and read later in the day. Like, that's all I do now on my Twitter account.
Miles, where can people follow you?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray.
You can follow me at Jack_O'Brien. You can follow us at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page that is The Daily Zeitgeist. We are at Just Daily Zeitgeist, just at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. And our website is dailyzeitgeist.com, where you can find all our episodes and footnotes, where we link off to all the sources so you can tell that we're not making shit up. And that's going to do it for this week. Season 8 in the books.
Woo!
We did it, you guys.
We did it.
We'll be back next week with Season 9. Bye.
Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.